Amen. Slava Panu Vshikni. Praise the Lord, everyone. Dneska večer budeme kvalita slavit naše Pan. Tonight we're going to continue to worship and praise our God. Protože on je hoden, because he is worthy. On je naše spasitel, he is our Savior. On je naše vykupitel, he is our Redeemer. On je naše Vshikni, he is our all in all. Oh, mam rad Ježíši. Oh, how I love my Jesus. Amen. Amen. It feels good in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I give honor to your pastor and to your ministry team here. You've got I can tell already, it's an amazing group of people, an amazing church. Amen. Amen. Thank you to those who were responsible for the wonderful snack stuff in my room. Amen. I appreciate that greatly. It's such an honor to be here with you. As was stated, we are missionaries in the Czech Republic, so I've got a question. Who knows where that is? Hey, we've got two or three. We got a few that were a little hesitant, because you might be afraid I was going to call one. For those that don't know, just to give you a little mental picture of where we're at, the Czech Republic is basically right smack dab in the middle of Europe. Okay, just north of us is Poland, west is Germany, south is Austria. And if you go east from where we are, you go through Slovakia and the Ukraine into Russia. Okay, so basically we're right smack dab in the middle of Europe, which by my estimation is a great place for revival to break out. Because if revival breaks out in the middle of something, what's going to happen? Spread everywhere else. So I believe we're in a strategic place in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. For those that came in through the main entrance up there, you may have noticed as you were coming in a table set up. You may have seen some pictures on there with a bunch of castles and things like that. That's really where I live. That's what it really looks like. Those are pictures my wife took. Most of those pictures are taken within about 5 minutes of our house and church. So it's an incredible place. There's more castles per square mile in the Czech Republic than any nation in the world. You walk into Old Town Square and it feels like you're walking into Disneyland. But it's real. That's called Old Town Square because Old Town Square is older than New Town Square. That's deep, isn't it? See, Old Town Square is from the 1200s, so it's old. New Town Square is from the 1600s, so it's new. They have a little bit different perspective on what's old and what's new. Amen. So it's an incredible place. It's the type of place where it wouldn't feel out of place for a knight to come riding by in full armor on a horse. It's that type of a place. So it's an incredible place. It's a beautiful place, but it's a place in need of God. It's a nation of over 11 million people. The city where we reside, the city of Prague, over 1.2 million people. And that entire nation, we currently have one established apostolic church. We have a big job in front of us. Amen. Amen. Now God has helped us. We've been able to open up a Bible school. We've been able to open a few preaching points that we're developing into churches, but still only one established church. So our challenge is this. How do you reach a nation of over 11 million people when you've only got one established church as a base to build from? I'll be honest with you, I can never plant and pastor enough churches to reach that nation. So that's why we've started a Bible school, so we can raise up other ministers and other pastors and then help them plant churches. And by that means, we can multiply our efforts and we can reach the nation. Amen. So if it's not enough of a challenge to try to reach the nation with just us, we like challenges, right? Anything worth doing is a challenge. They recently released a study. In 2019, they released an academic study where they studied religions around the world. And here's what they determined. The Czech Republic, where I live, is the second most atheist country in the world, behind only North Korea. The city where I live, the city of Prague, they did a survey. 82% of the men in the city of Prague claim atheism as their religion. Folks, we have a big job in front of us. But thankfully, we serve a big God. We serve a God that can break through tradition. He can break through atheism. He can reveal himself and show himself to be real. And we will see a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit in that nation. Amen. So we're seeing things happen. We're seeing the Spirit of God move, and we're seeing the kingdom of God expand. So that's my primary responsibility. But if that's not enough, and that's a full-time job, but if that's not enough, the Czech Republic is an area of the world that we refer to as Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is comprised of 14 nations, over 123 million people, a landmass the size of the United States east of the Mississippi River. In that entire area, we currently have seven families to reach all of those nations. It's a big job. And we realize we can never plant enough churches. So what we're doing is we're working together. And anytime we hear of groups of people that are interested in hearing more about the Word of God, all of us work together to try to reach into these nations. There are several of those nations that we currently don't even have a single apostolic believer. Big job. So what are we doing? We're trying to raise up ministers. We're trying to train ministers. So not only do I administrate and teach in the Bible school in the Czech Republic, I also teach at the Bible school in Michalovce, Slovakia. I also teach at the Bible school in Pajina, Serbia. I also teach at the Bible school in Bački Petrovice, Serbia. I also teach at the Bible school in Vienna, Austria. And I also teach at the Bible school in Glasgow, Scotland, as well as co-pastoring the church in Prague and pastoring the church plants in the Czech Republic. We're a little bit busy. But I said all that to say this. Thank you for what you do for the cause of missions. I just named six Bible schools I'm a teacher in. We have those Bible schools because of what you give to ladies' ministries. Ladies' ministries helps underwrite the cost of those Bible schools overseas. So thank you for what you do. I would not be able to do what I do without your help back here. The reason I'm able to get to all of those places and do what I do is because of the work of youth ministries here in North America. I have a vehicle in Europe because of the giving of young people here in North America. Thank you for what you do. I put a lot of kilometers on that vehicle. Amen. Amen. We're all in this together. We're all called to reach the world. And if we work together, we can see this gospel preached in the entire world. Amen. 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 And God is so good, and He is pouring out His Spirit. Amen. If you've got questions about the Czech Republic or what we're doing, I will try to make it to that table after service as soon as possible. And if you've got questions, you can ask me, and I can give you the answers. If I don't have the answers, I can make something up. I try not to do that. Amen. Amen. On that table, there's some pictures. You can see what it looks like over there. If you feel really brave, there's a Bible there on that table. You are welcome to pick that up and try to read it. It's a Czech Bible. You never know. You might understand some of it. Amen. Also on that table, there's a little basket. If you'd like to be involved in helping propagate the gospel in Eastern Europe, anything you drop in that basket will go towards our projects and spreading the gospel in Eastern Europe. And we'll say thank you so very much for that. Amen. God is good. Now, I realize pastor's not here, so that makes everything a little bit awkward. Let's just be honest. It is what it is. So you don't know how to act. But the good thing is I've never been here before, so I don't know how you're supposed to act. I'll just assume that whatever happens is right. Amen. Now, I realize it's a Wednesday night, the pastor's gone, it's summer vacation, we're in camp season, all that stuff is happening. I get that. But it's still church. And I'm one of those crazy people that every time I come to church, I expect things to happen. When I come to church, I expect people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I expect people to be healed. I expect people to be delivered. I expect people to be touched by the presence of God, because that's what's supposed to happen when the people of God come together. And so why not just let it happen here tonight? If you need something from God, I have the utmost confidence in God that He is able to meet your need, even though the pastor's not here. There's plenty of good ministers back here. Amen. We're all children of God. Amen. And God can do a mighty work. Amen. I was at a service one time and we had a guest preacher. And before the preacher started preaching, he was just kind of talking. You know how preachers do that sometimes? Kind of like I'm doing right now. As he was talking, he said something along the lines of, if you need something from God, all you have to do is respond to Him and God will meet your needs. Well, the people that were in that service just believed it. So they just stood up and started walking to the front. Well, the preacher didn't know what to do because he hadn't preached yet. So since he didn't know what else to do, he just put down his microphone and went down and started praying with people. And what you know what? They started getting the Holy Ghost. They started being healed. God started doing a mighty work. Amen. So, amen. I don't intend to preach a long time. But if you need something from God, if you'll respond to Him, if God begins to move, I have no problem stopping. I've come to the point in my ministry where I'm pretty comfortable with who I am. And I realize that our reason for being here is to experience the presence of God. And nothing I have to say is so important I would want to stop a move of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord. If you would, I don't know what you typically do, so I'm going to ask, would you stand with me for the reading of the Word? We're going to go to Matthew chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 21. And I know these are typically verses we read around Christmas. I realize since it's been over 90 in the last few days, it's not Christmas. But the Bible works anytime. Amen. Matthew chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 21, it says this. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Amen. Now, if you turn over in your Bibles to the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 28, and the last few verses that Matthew records in his gospel, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 18, these are typically verses, this passage is typically referred to as the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 18, it says this. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen." Amen. And I want to preach for just a little while tonight on a very simple topic taken from Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter number 28. It records in both places a similar concept. In Matthew 1, it says he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the last words that Matthew records that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 was he told his disciples, "And lo, I am with you always." And I want to talk to us for just a little while tonight on this simple topic. He's still with us. He's still with us. Amen. Before you're seated, could you just smile at somebody? You look better when you smile. And I'll be honest, I love seeing smiles because where I'm at, they're still under mask mandates and have been for over a year. And it's great to see smiles. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. So a little while back, I was reading through a book, and it wasn't really a theological book per se. It was more of a historical book. And as I was reading through that book, basically what the author was doing is he was trying to go through and he was trying to determine what did people in the first and second century think about Jesus? How did they perceive him? Okay. And so he's going through and he's looking, going through a lot of different historical documents and things like that. And he says, of course, some of the most complete historical documents that we have are actually what we have in our Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Those are probably the most complete renditions of views of Jesus and the life of Jesus that we have in our having. So he's going through and he begins to break down the Gospels and try to look at how they looked at Jesus Christ. So he's going in a chronological way. So he starts with the book of Mark because that was the first book that was written. And he begins to break down what Mark thought about Jesus. And then when he gets to Matthew, he says something really interesting. He says, it's really interesting the way that Matthew laid out his gospel. He begins his gospel with a genealogy saying this is where Jesus came from. But then when he begins the narrative or the story of Jesus' life, he begins with this angelic visitation that we read from in Matthew chapter number 1. And in this angelic visitation, the angel says he'll be called Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. And then he says, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now what he says is so interesting about this is the audience that was Matthew's primary audience would have had no need for Matthew to translate what Emmanuel meant. They would have already known that Emmanuel means God with us. But what this author says is this, and he says, it was very common within that time period. Authors realized that most of the people that would interact with their material would not be reading it, but they would be hearing it because the majority of the population was illiterate. So what they would typically do is if they had a point that they wished to emphasize, they would typically repeat themselves, and when they heard something repeated, it would be a clue to the people that would hear or read, this is something that's important. This is something I want you to remember. Okay? So by Matthew writing this in this way, he says, he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. What he was basically telling his audience is this. This is something that's important. This is something that you need to remember. This Jesus Christ that is going to come. This man that is going to be born, who we will call Jesus, he's not just like any other man, but this man, Jesus Christ, is the very God that we know from the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that the prophets talked about. That same, very same God is now with us as the man, Christ Jesus. And then what Matthew does throughout the rest of his gospel is he tells the story. This is what happens when God is with us. He tells us about miracles. He tells us about people that are healed. He tells us about the kingdom of God. He tells us about the kingdom of heaven. He tells us all of this stuff. He says, this is what happens when God is with us. And then at the very end of his gospel, Matthew concludes his gospel by talking to his disciples. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I'm getting ready to go away. But when I go, I've got a job for you. I want you to go into all the world. I want you to teach. I want you to baptize. But I'm not going to send you out on your own. Because when I send you out, there's something I want you to remember. He says, no matter even if you go to the very end of the world, I'm still with you. It's very reminiscent of what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter number 14. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm getting ready to go away, but don't worry, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, but don't worry, if I go, I'm going to send the comforter to you. That word comforter in John chapter number 14 is the Greek word parakletos. That means the advocate or the one who comes along beside. He says, I'm going to send somebody. And then he says, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth to you. And then a few verses later, he says, I'm going to come to you. He's telling his disciples, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to leave. I'm getting ready to go. But when I go, I'm going to send my Spirit back. So that way, you're not by yourself. No matter where you go, I'm still with you. And this author, as he's talking about the way that Matthew laid out his gospel, he said it's really interesting because it's almost like Matthew is placing brackets around the story of Jesus. He begins the story by saying, he will be God with us. And the very last thing he says is, lo, I am with you always. It's almost like he's bracketing his entire gospel with the reminder that God is with us. I'm here to preach a simple message to you tonight, and it's this. Yes, it's several millennia later, but I'm here to tell you, if you have repented of your sins, if you have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, God is still with us. The promise is still true. His word still holds true. God hasn't gone anywhere. God still holds to his word. And if you have been filled with his spirit, I'm here to remind you that God is still with us. I realize it's a simple message, but it's an important message, because sometimes we forget. Amen. In case you all haven't realized it, and this may be news up here, but over the last about 16, 17 months, we've been going through something that has been referred to as a global pandemic. Have you all heard about that? Okay, just checking to see if it made it up here. It's not just happening here, but it's been something all over the world. For a number of months, our family, because of housing conditions where we live, everything is super small and tight and expensive. Our family of four, my wife, me, my wife, and my two kids, we live in an 800-square-foot apartment. And for about 4 months, we weren't allowed to leave our residence. Except twice a week, you could choose one representative from the household to go grocery shopping during designated hours. The end of that 4 months, my wife was ready to kick us out of the apartment. I've got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and 800 square feet gets small. So we've been living in a global pandemic, and I'm not negating the reality of COVID. It's a very real thing. I've lost a number of friends to it. Matter of fact, we just buried one of our missionaries about a week and a half ago that died from COVID. So I'm not negating the reality and the seriousness of COVID. But I also realize that because of this pandemic, there's been measures that have been taken ostensibly for safety and for reasons like that. And we all understand these measures have been taken. I'm not here to say whether they were necessary or unnecessary. I realize it's been politicized on both sides. That's not my point. But I do want to point out that there have been measures that have been taken. It was just a few weeks ago that in Prague, we were able to start having in-person services again. For nearly 15 months, we went to church on our laptop screen at our dining room table. The majority of workplaces in our country are still closed unless you can work virtually. They've just started opening, just a few weeks ago, they opened children's clothing stores because children's clothing stores had not been open in over a year. And people were crying out saying, our kids have outgrown all their clothes. We've got to have a way to get children's clothing. So measures have been taken. Basically, people have been relegated to their houses, and everything has been done virtually. Right? You've heard of this. Many of you have probably experienced this. Now, whether or not it was necessary, that's not my point. My point is this, it's what's happened. And as a result of this, there have been unintended and unforeseen consequences of a lot of these measures that have taken place. I've been reading medical reports that tell me on a global scale, depression is at an all-time high. On a global scale, drug addiction and alcoholism are at an all-time high. I've been reading that on a global scale, suicides are at an all-time high. I read one report out of the University of Virginia that said since the beginning of the pandemic, there has been over a 500% increase in suicides among elementary-age children. It's the reality of the world that we're living in. Amen. It's what's happening. I've been reading that it's especially affected young children that are still in developmental stages, because from what I'm reading from child psychologists, many young children learn from watching facial expressions of adults around them, and for over a year they've not been able to see adults' faces, and so it's causing social developmental problems among small-aged children. That's what I'm reading from child psychologists and things like that. Once again, I'm not saying whether it was necessary. That's not my point. But the reality is this is what's going on. And what a lot of the doctors are saying is they attribute a lot of this to the fact that people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their income, they're losing basically everything they've worked their entire life for, and they're having to go through all of this in isolation and without human contact. And so this is leading to other problems. And I think a lot of us realize, at least on some level, that this is going on out in the world. We recognize it, at least to some degree. But the sad truth is, though we may recognize it's going on out there, what I think a lot of us may not realize is, though it's affecting people out there, it's even affecting people on the pews in churches. It's found its way into the house of God. People are facing mental challenges. They're facing depression and oppression. They're facing a lot of these things. And a lot of people that I'm talking to, a lot of the people that I'm running into, they're saying, does anybody know where I'm at? And even if they knew where I was at and what I was going through, does anybody even really care? It's the world that we live in. That's why I've got this message for you tonight. I'm here to tell you, COVID did not catch God by surprise. He knew what was going on. He knows the end from the beginning. And I'm here to tell you, though the world may seem like it's flipped upside down, I'm here to tell you, God's not gone anywhere. Though it may seem like you're going through this alone, though it may seem like the world has changed drastically, I'm here to remind you, God is still with us. God hasn't gone anywhere. God still has this whole world in His hands. God hasn't forgotten where we're at. Amen. For those that may not know how our missions program works within the United Pentecostal Church, basically the way things happen is we spend 4 years overseas, and then we come back to North America for about a year to help raise the support to go back for 4 more years. We do this because the majority of governments, the only way that we can get in is if we can prove to the government that we will not accept any income from the country where we live. So where I'm at, the churches and Bible schools and things like that cannot support us or help fund us. The moment they give us any type of support, we lose our visas and we're kicked out of the country. Okay? So the only way that I can be there is by getting support from churches back in North America. So that's what one of the reasons that I'm traveling around North America right now, to help raise the support to go back and continue the work. Well, I realized that our 4 years was about up. And typically, a lot of times what happens is when the missionary leaves, the churches there suffer quite a bit of attrition while the missionary is gone. Okay? So I realized our 4 years was about up, and so I decided, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to do a lot of things to build momentum right before I leave, so that way, hopefully, the momentum can help carry them while I'm gone. Good plan, right? So what we did is we scheduled a lot of things, and we had scheduled for Apostolic Youth Corps, a group of about 35 young people were going to be coming into Prague. We were going to be doing street services and outreach and evangelism and all kinds of stuff like that through last summer. Last fall, I had a guest teacher scheduled to come in, one of the top teachers and researchers in our movement. He was going to come and do several weeks of intense seminars with our Bible school students and try to give them a big boost. And then right before we left, we had scheduled a brother, Dan McLeod, to come in from Riga, Latvia. He's an evangelist of great faith. He was scheduled to come into Prague and do a big outreach service and crusade, evangelistic crusade, right before we left. And hopefully our plan was, with all of this stuff going on, we could build a lot of momentum, and then the wave of momentum could help carry them while I was gone. Good plan, right? Well, we had all this laid out and ready to go, and then March came. Then all of a sudden, our plans were postponed. and then postponed some more, and then canceled. And I'll be honest with you, as all this stuff is going on, I was getting pretty frustrated. And in my personal prayer time, I'm talking to God saying, God, don't you realize we had plans? God, yoo-hoo! And I'll be honest, I started to pray a lot of the Psalms, but not those good fun Psalms that we like to pray. I was praying those Psalms that David wrote when he was frustrated and upset. Those Psalms where he's saying things like, God, why don't you just go kill my enemies because I'm mad? That's in your Bible too. We don't talk about those as much, but they're there. Those were the Psalms that I was praying. God, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. Don't you understand what's going on? And so as we're getting into like the summer, all of this stuff is going through my mind. I'm trying to figure out what are we going to do? And the government starts, they start lessening restrictions a little bit and then tightening them back up. And they'd go a week or two where they said, you can meet with 6 people. Now you can meet with 2 people. Now you can't meet at all. Now you're stuck in your house again. And so all of this is going on. It's a day-by-day thing. And all this is happening. We're just trying to figure out what are we going to do? And as we're going through all of this, I got a call from the other minister at our church in Prague. And he says, hey, I just got a call. There's a man by the name of Robert. He wants to know if you can meet him at the church. I said, sure. At this point, I think we were allowed to meet with 6 people. I said, sure, I can meet him. I said, do you know anything about what's going on? He says, I don't really know. He said, I think he wants to know something about our doctrine, so you might want to be ready with some information about our doctrine. I said, well, I can do that. That's not a problem. So I went and I met Robert at the church, and Robert was driven there by a young lady by the name of Michaela. And we met at the church, and I began to get a little bit of Robert's story. Come to find out that Robert had been in the military, and he said he couldn't tell me due to confidentiality and stuff like that. But from context clues, I'm assuming he was either stationed somewhere in Afghanistan or the Middle East. And he said when he was over there, he said he got a hold of a Bible, and he began to read it, and he began to try to figure out what it was all about. He said he didn't understand a lot of it, but one thing he kept reading about was in the Bible, it kept talking about anointing with oil. So he said, I thought I'd try that. He said, I'm not sure if I did it right, but he said, what I did is I went to the camp cook and I got some oil. He said, and one time before we went out on a reconnaissance mission, he said, I got some of that oil and I put it around the door to my vehicle. We went out on our reconnaissance mission. From what I understand, while they were out on that reconnaissance mission, their vehicle ended up hitting an explosive device. Everybody that was with Robert ended up dying. And Robert sustained very severe injuries. His injuries were so bad, he ended up losing his left arm and his left leg. Because of that, he ended up laid up in a military hospital for a long period of time. He said there wasn't much else he could do. So while he was laid up there, he continued to read in his Bible. He said, as I was laying there, I began to pray and I began to ask God, are you real? Is there anything to this? And as he's relaying this to me, he tells me, he says, it was odd. He says, sometimes I would be praying and I didn't even understand what I was saying. I think I know what that is. Eventually, he got to the point where he said they could release him from the hospital, and because of his injuries, he was discharged from the military. He said, I went back to my hometown and I began to look for anybody that called themselves a Christian and began to ask them what they believed and what they preached. He said, I found some people that believed, said that they were Christians, but what they were telling me wasn't lining up with what I was reading in the Bible. So he said, I found pastors and I began to talk to them, and I couldn't align what they were saying with what I was reading in Scripture. So he said, what I want to know is, what do you believe and preach? So I said, Robert, I'm happy to tell you that. So for about the next hour to hour and a half, we opened up our Bible. We explained to him how God came to earth. He came as a man, and when he came as a man, he went to a cross of Calvary, and he died for our sins. And the Bible tells us that we can experience the presence of God if we'll repent of our sins, if we'll turn away from the life that we were living, if we'll be baptized in His name. The Bible says that if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are remitted. They're no longer held to your account. Paul says that when you come up out of the water, you're a new creature in Christ. The language that's used there is not just that you're a new creature, but the language that Paul uses is actually you're a new creation in Christ. You're something that you never even were before. You're brand new in Jesus Christ. We began to explain to him how you can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll begin to speak in a language that you've never studied or learned. And we're going through all these scriptures, explaining it all to him. Well, we were sitting around a table at the back of the church wearing masks and socially distanced. And we got to the end of our Bible study and said, you know, I think it'd be a good idea if we finished up our Bible study with a word of prayer. Robert said, that sounds good. So sitting there around the table, we began to pray. And the longer we prayed, the more intense that prayer became. It wasn't very long and Robert was no longer speaking in Czech, but he was speaking in a language that I didn't understand and nobody around there knew. And it was confirmed to me that Robert had been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So we begin to worship and praise God and thank God for what He's doing. And as all of this is going on, I look over and I notice that his driver, this is a driver that had been assigned to him because he couldn't drive because he was missing his arm and his leg. His driver that was assigned to him was sitting down at the other end of the table. And Michaela was sitting there. She had her head about like this. And she had her hands about like this. And I saw tears streaming down Michaela's face. We began to pray with Michaela, and it wasn't very long, and Michaela began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, and God filled Michaela with the Holy Ghost. Well, as things began to calm down a little bit, we began to talk to Robert and said, Robert, you know, we have water here. How would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? He looked back at us and he said, that's really the reason that I'm here. I was hoping that you baptize in Jesus' name because that's what I see in Scripture. So he went back to the back and he began to get changed and ready for being baptized. As he's getting ready, we begin to talk to Michaela and said, Michaela, do you realize what just happened to you? She said, if I understand from what you were talking about, she said, I believe I was just filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We said, you're exactly right, Michaela. That's what's happened. We said, you know, we have clothes here. How would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? She said, I think I'd like that a lot. And that afternoon, we baptized both Robert and Michaela in Jesus' name. I'm happy to report to you that since the beginning of the pandemic, we have baptized more in the Czech Republic than we had in the previous 2 years combined. That's without being able to have church services. That's without being able to meet together. What am I trying to tell you? It's almost like God was tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, I've not forgotten where you're at. I still know that you're there. I'm still with you. I've not gone anywhere. It may not look how you expected it to look. It may not be happening how you planned for it to happen. But I want you to know I'm still with you. See, sometimes we get in our mind the way that we think things are supposed to happen. We have ideas and pictures of how this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Most of the times it doesn't work that way. I'll go as far as to even say, I think sometimes we limit what God can do because we've placed Him in the box of our preconceived notions. Let me give you an example, and I'll close with this. We're almost done, and God's about to do something. I was invited to preach a crusade overseas, and this was the third day. On Sunday afternoon, I was invited to preach, and it was hot. It was an outdoor crusade. When I say hot, I mean it was a lot hotter than it's been here in the last few days. It was hot, 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 hot. And so I got up, and I had preached, and I had turned it over to another minister. He was doing the altar call and the altar service, and it was a little bit different than we typically do altar services here. What we did is we got a bunch of chairs and lined them up in the altar area. And we made the statement, if you would like to receive the Holy Ghost, come sit in a chair. It's not how we typically do things here, but it's what we did over there, and it's fine. And so we had about 50 chairs lined up there, so people just started coming from all over and started sitting in the chairs. Once all the chairs were filled, they started making lines behind the chairs. And the minister doing the altar service explained to them repentance, and they prayed a prayer of repentance, and then he said this. He said, in just a moment, I'm going to speak the word of faith. When I speak the word of faith, these altar workers are going to lay hands on you. And when they lay hands on you, God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Pretty simple, right? We don't have to make the things of God so complicated. If we just simply believe Him and obey, we might be amazed what would happen. So he got up and he spoke and he said, and now by the authority and the power of the word of God, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, we began to lay hands on people sitting in the chairs, and instantly people started getting filled with the Holy Ghost. When they would get the Holy Ghost, we would take them up to the platform so we could get their name and information and find out what church and pastor was closest to them so that we could connect them with the church, because everybody needs a pastor. Then the next person in line would sit down. We'd pray for them till they got the Holy Ghost, send them up to the platform. And this process is repeating itself. Well, remember, it was hot and I had just preached. And there's a reason that we call it altar work. It's a lot of work. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting tired. So I called for reinforcements. I said, hey, will you come over and pray with my chair? I'm going to go get a drink of water, and as soon as I can catch my breath, I'll be right back in here. They said, okay. And so they came in, and they began to pray with my chair. I went over to the sidewalk that was kind of overlooking this park area where we were having church, and I was drinking a bottle of water, and a guy came walking by, and he stopped and started to talk to me, and he said, what's going on over there? I said, well, we just had church. People are getting the Holy Ghost. Now, my faith was really high because people were getting the Holy Ghost all over the place. So I just asked him, I said, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? That's not supposed to happen that way. He hadn't been at church. He hadn't heard the preaching. I didn't take him to the altar. We were standing on the sidewalk in a major metropolitan city. Would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? He gave me one of those responses that really builds your faith. He says, sure, why not? It's good enough for me. Explained to him repentance, and we had a prayer of repentance. And I said, if you'll just lift your hands and begin to worship God, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He set his bags down that he was carrying, and he lifted his hands, and he began to pray. And right there on the sidewalk, God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Before we left that afternoon, 256 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Now, I told you all that to tell you this. While I was praying for him up on the sidewalk, a friend of mine was praying for somebody over on the other side of the park. It was a young lady that they had carried to the front on a stretcher, and my friend had got down and begun to pray with her. When he laid hands and began to pray for her, she had lifted up her hands and began to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My friend really felt like God was going to do something in her life, so he was down in her ear trying to give her instructions on how to pray and how to seek for God and all this. And he said he was getting a little bit upset because she wasn't doing anything he was telling her to do. Finally got to the point where he decided he needed to find out something else. He stood up and started to talk to the people that had carried her to the front that were with her. He thought, maybe if I can get some of her backstory, I'll be able to better give her instructions about how to pray and how to reach out to God. And it was then that he began to hear her story, to come to find out that she has a tumor at the base of her brain. And for many years, she had been completely paralyzed and unable to speak. And the moment he had laid hands on her, she had instantly lifted up her hands and began to cry out, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we don't even recognize what God is doing. Sometimes we don't even recognize how we're supposed to pray because we've got God in this box of what our expectations are. I submit to you tonight, if we'll take God out of that box and if we'll just simply say, God, whatever it is that you want to do and however it is that you want to do it, I'm here and I'm available. You see, so many times we feel like that the music has to be going just right and the atmosphere has to be just right in order for God to do something great. I'm not against any of those things. As a matter of fact, I'm in favor of all of that. I'm thankful for this incredible worship team and music group. It's amazing to have that. But do you realize that a lot of times, a lot of that is more for us than it is for Him? Really what's happening is we're creating an atmosphere where our faith can rise to the level where we believe that God can do what He already wants to do. But if God is really God, if God really is all-powerful, if He really can do anything, the only thing that we really need for God to move is someone who's willing to let Him. If He is here, and I believe that He is, then all He needs is someone who's willing to say, here I am, Lord. And if we can do that, I believe we'll see miracles. I believe we'll see signs. I believe that we'll see wonders. I believe that we'll see people's lives changed. I believe that we'll see people brought out. I believe that we'll see people delivered. Why? Because He is here. It's nothing that I can do. It's nothing that you can do. But it's only by the presence of the Spirit and the power of God. So I challenge you tonight, will you take God out of the box of your expectations? Just say, here I am, Lord. It may not be how I thought it should happen. It might not look how I think it should look. But God, if you'll just do your work, I'm available. All over this place with me right now, would you stand and would you lift your hands? Lord, I feel your Spirit in this place. Lord, I believe you're about to do something amazing. I believe that we're about to step across the threshold from the realm of the natural into the realm of the supernatural and miraculous. God, we're about to see you pour out your Spirit in this place. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage to respond to your presence. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage to say, here I am. And just let you do your work. Lord, if we'll respond to you, I have faith that you will move. In Jesus' name I pray, let it be done. As they begin to play and sing, as they begin to worship, I open these altars. If you need something from God, if you need the Holy Ghost, come and God will fill you. If you need healing, God can heal you in this place. If you need deliverance, God can bring you out. If you need peace, God will give you peace. If you need victory, God will give you victory. Why? He's still with us. He's not gone anywhere. My God is still here. He's still with us. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let praises rise from the inside. From the inside of me, may you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside. From the inside of me, set me on fire. From the inside, from the inside of me, 'cause all I want is for you. for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, is all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Let praises rise from the inside. From the inside of me, may you be alive in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord, glorify your name. Fill my heart till all they see is you, Lord, glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you,
I want more of you, God. Set
set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Oh, yes, oh, we want more of you, Jesus. Oh, yes, oh, we want more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we know, Lord, that you are always with us, Lord. Through it all, Lord Jesus, Lord, everything we go through, that whole pandemic, Lord, we know that you are here with us, Lord. We know that you are here tonight, Lord. We feel your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for never leaving us, Lord, or never forsaking us. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power, Lord, in your touch, Lord. Lord, may we take this word here tonight, Lord. May we share it, Lord, with this world, Lord, that's never been in your presence. May we tell them, Lord, that you are with them always, Lord. Lord, how you can help them, Lord. Bring them out of whatever pit that they're in, Lord. Any addiction, Lord. Any brokenness, Lord. That you are there with them, Lord. And how you can bring them out of that, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, as a church, Lord. Spread this word. Spread this gospel, Lord. The Great Commission. Your commandment unto your church, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you, and we lift up the name of Jesus Most High. Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.